Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And before I share it with you, would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to read your word. Father, we ask that you would give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, Lord, that we may receive this morning what you have revealed, and Lord, that we may do what you have commanded. We ask your Holy Spirit to be with Crystal, Lord, as she brings the message that you have for us this morning. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen now for the word of God. Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen.
I did not realize that you weren't going to read my Joshua passage. So, we'll also read Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, 'Get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own.' But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise.' Then they answered Joshua, 'Whatever you have, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.'" Good morning. Most everyone in this room knows my husband, Al, but in case there are visitors or new people here, I'll just mention that he is a firefighter and EMT here in Haines. For many years, he was one of only two paid firefighters on the department, and since his retirement a few years ago, he continues to volunteer. Over the years, he's responded to many, many calls, and he has some good stories to tell. One of them happened about 20 years ago when he was called to a plane crash over on the Davidson Glacier, which is across the Chilkat Inlet. I don't know all of the details, but he and a couple of other responders spent quite a few hours on that glacier, working around and straddling crevasses, staying there, waiting for helicopters, which could carry only so many people at a time. The crew didn't realize they'd be going onto the glacier when they left for the call, so they didn't have adequate clothing or warm boots. And yet, they were able to do their job and stabilize the patients and get everybody off the glacier. Everyone survived. Later, the Coast Guard honored Al and his two fellow responders for their work and bravery on that call. For Al, it was routine to respond to this call. He didn't really pull out any particular courage card to do it. He just did what he had to do as the situation presented itself. But entering the field of firefighting itself, or EMS, demands a certain amount of courage, since you never know when things like this will happen, where you might have to risk your own comfort and safety, even, for the life of another. We don't all do big and heroic acts like this. And few of us win accolades from the Coast Guard. But we all face challenges, maybe even daily, for which we need courage. Could be you're sick with a serious or terminal illness, and you have to find a way to live, even as you go through treatment and face possible death. Could be you live in a home where there is abuse, whether that's your own or someone else's abuse of a substance, or where people are abused. It takes courage to face that head on and make decisions and take action to make a healthy life. Could be you have challenges at school or at work, and you need courage to overcome them competently. For some people, it takes courage just to get up out of bed every morning and face the day. And then there are the things that God calls his disciples to, which also require some courage on our part. Things like admitting we're wrong and asking for forgiveness. Like taking a stand for what is just or right against popular culture. Or spreading the good news about God's love and making disciples. This is the work of the church and of individual followers of Christ, and we need courage every day to do these things. Joshua also needed courage. He faced a very large task, that of leading the Israelites into the promised land, conquering the people, and divvying up the land among Israel's tribes. It was a monumental task, really. First of all, the land already had established nations in it. People were not going to just move over and make room for God's people. And second, leading Israel itself would not be a picnic. Remember all the trouble they gave to Moses. Although this is a new generation, people don't really change. And this is a fallen, sinful world. And they too would soon fail to do all that God asked of them. Joshua would need courage to keep on following God while leading this unwieldy group of followers. But Joshua had some assets that would contribute to bravery and help him accomplish his task. First of all, Joshua was already a courageous man. Way back, 40 years before, He had been one of the spies that Moses sent into Canaan to scout out the land. There were 10 spies, and 8 of them came out afraid and cautious, telling the people they couldn't go in there and take over. But 2 of the spies were faithful to God, and more than that, they believed in God's faithfulness. And they encouraged the people to go in with God's help and take over the land. These 2 were Joshua and Caleb. But of course, the 8 prevailed, and the Israelites didn't go into the land at that time, which is why God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. He waited for that faithless generation to die off until he would give them the land. And in the course of time, all of them did die, including Moses. So now it's time for Joshua to take over as the leader and move into Canaan. Each of us has some reserve of courage, too. Maybe more or less, depending on your personality. And courage doesn't mean a lack of fear, but that you overcome fear in order to do something or get something that you want. So there was the time that you gave a speech in public, or you stood up here and led us in a prayer. Or the time you confronted a bully on behalf of a friend. Or you volunteered to go to some foreign place to help people in need. You think about it. When were you bold, even a little bit? I bet everyone here, like Joshua, can think of some experience in the past where you exhibited courage. Another of Joshua's assets is the legacy of Moses. I don't know if you caught it, but Moses' name was all over that Joshua passage. It starts off after the death of Moses, and God's first words to Joshua, "My servant Moses is dead," putting all of this into context. And Moses continues to be mentioned throughout the chapter 10 times. Moses was Israel's greatest leader. He was a prophet. He spoke to God himself and received all of God's instructions, which became the law for Israel. He wasn't a king, but he led them out of Egypt in the Exodus and continued to lead them for all the years they wandered. He wasn't a priest either. That was reserved for Moses' brother Aaron and his sons. But God told Moses how the priests and all the people should properly worship him. Moses was the servant of God and the leader of the people. So when God addresses Joshua, he continually brings up Moses, connecting the two and extending to Joshua the same protection and relationship that he had with Moses. Joshua already knows a little bit about this because he has been Moses' aide for all these years. When everyone else had to keep their distance, Joshua went up on the mountain with Moses and got the Ten Commandments from God. He accompanied him and served him as Moses served the Lord. Joshua had large shoes to fill following Moses, but he has his example and he has learned well under Moses' tutelage. We have a legacy to follow in our Christian life too. Every believer in Christ had to hear the message from someone. Today, we honor fathers. And some of us had fathers and grandfathers who taught us lessons in faithful living. Or other family members who prayed with us and taught us about God's love, read us the scriptures, and brought us to worship. If it didn't come from your family, there was a Sunday school teacher or your youth pastor or a neighbor or a friend who dared to share the good news that in Christ there is forgiveness of sin and hope for a new life. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So even those who have passed on continue to witness in some mysterious way, encouraging us to keep the faith. Thank God today for that person or people who left a legacy to you that you might follow in their way. and think about the legacy you're leaving for those behind you. Make an intentional effort to pray, instruct, and mentor them in a life of faith in God. Another asset Joshua had was the loyalty and obedience of the people. He was their new leader. They pledged to obey Joshua just as they had Moses. It was a small fraction of Israel, but these 2.5 tribes firmly acknowledged Joshua's leadership and authority, and they promised their support and loyalty to him. This vote of confidence and encouragement is so important for our leaders. A leader can't lead without followers. And this was not going to be Joshua's fight alone. All of Israel was being called by God to go into the land, and they all needed to work together as one nation. All of them needed courage. Each one had a part to play, and they needed a good, solid leader. These tribes knew that God had chosen, trained, and commissioned Joshua to the job, and they threw in their wholehearted support, even echoing God's own words to him, "Be strong and courageous." If you are a leader in the church or somewhere else, you need the support of your followers. You are not a lone ranger. Whatever task is in front of you, you'll need others' skills and intelligence to help you accomplish it. And when you have their support, it gives you confidence and courage to lead, doesn't it? If you are a follower, consider how God has put someone in authority over you. Could be your boss, your parent, or the elders in the church. Help them be a strong leader by giving them your encouragement and loyalty. I've said this before, but it never hurts to be reminded. In this church, when we ordain pastors, elders, and deacons, we followers of them make solemn promises to them that we will listen to what they say and support them by prayer and other means of encouragement. They cannot be good leaders without good followers. And they will have more courage to lead well when they know others are fully supporting them. So Joshua had all these things. He had some courage to begin with. He had Moses' legacy, and he had the loyalty and obedience of the people. But he had one more asset that is the true and sole source of his courage. Earlier, I said that Moses' name was all over this passage, but even more prevalent in the whole chapter is God, his name and his action. It is clear that this is God's story. And Moses and Joshua and all the Israelites are invited to be a part of it. But make no mistake, God is the main character, speaking, acting, and causing things to happen according to his plan. And I see three ways that God encourages Joshua. Joshua's courage comes from God's promise, God's provision, and God's presence. God is fulfilling his promise. He provides and he is present. And as he speaks to Joshua of these things, he repeats these words, "Be strong and courageous," indicating that Joshua would need courage to respond properly to God's call. God says, "Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." The promise of land was an important part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. That covenant said that God would be his God and he and his descendants would be God's people. And God would provide a land for them where they would thrive and flourish both physically and spiritually. Before Abraham died, God even told him that his children would be enslaved in a foreign country for a long time, after which God would rescue them and lead them back to Canaan, which he promised to give them. God repeated this promise to Abraham's son Isaac, to Jacob, and much later to Moses, when he called him to lead Israel out of Egypt. Now, finally, It is time for God to fulfill this promise. And he reiterates to Joshua that he is giving them this land. And it's very specific as he lays out the boundaries for them. Joshua can take courage because God knows exactly what he's doing. He's not giving some vague direction, but a very specific plan for where they are to go. God is also going to provide for Israel. The people have to respond. They have to take part in what God's doing. But he will be their provider, as he has been all these 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. He is providing the land, which we already saw. He also provides a leader for them, calling Joshua to that position and having trained him carefully under Moses. And God provides the law. The law, which some might see as restricting people's freedom or narrowly defining moral behavior and social norms, is actually God's gracious provision for his people. Of course, any society has to have laws in order to not fall into anarchy and chaos. And God's law is perfect, says the psalmist, showing the true way to a good and abundant life. Following God's law actually gives one a lot of freedom to be and do things that are excellent, beautiful, and productive, because God is our creator, and no one knows better how to live a good and full life. But as fallen members of the human race, it will not be easy for Israel to keep the law, as it is not easy for any of us. Because it's just and provides for all people to have enough to live on, to have a voice, and to be treated fairly, not everyone likes that. Those with power over others don't like to give up any power to make the playing field more equal. And on the other side of the coin, when people are not treated fairly or they're oppressed, they may take matters into their own hands, breaking the law, trying to make things better for themselves. For whatever reason, it's not easy to keep the law. So God commands Joshua here, as he did Moses before him, in no uncertain terms, to keep the law. Memorize it, meditate on it, obey it. We might say Joshua was to eat, sleep, and breathe God's law. In a way, Joshua needs courage to keep the law. Any governor, police officer, or judge needs courage to uphold the law in the face of lawbreakers. But the law, coming from God, also provides the courage we need to enforce it. There it is. You see it laid out before you. Now we have to abide by it. God's law is good and right, and as Joshua and all of Israel follow it and practice it, they will have more and more courage to continue obeying God. Joshua has God's promises to stand on. He also has God's provision. But what is most encouraging to him will be the presence of God. As nothing else will do, God's presence will help Joshua be strong and courageous. You know how it is. If you have to do something that's scary or intimidating, you want someone with you, preferably someone who loves you. Just knowing you're not alone, that someone sees what you're going through and is cheering you on, gives you the boost to be able to follow through. In the hospital room, starting at a new school or job, getting ready for a public performance, these are all times when you just want someone with you. And when you are assured of God's presence, well, there's no one more powerful, more intelligent, more capable than God. So if God is with you, you can do anything. Joshua had a monumental and dangerous task ahead of him, but he also had a lot to go on. He wasn't alone. He wasn't blindly pursuing some risky endeavor he'd dreamed up on his own. God called him, God empowered him, and God accompanied him. In our New Testament passage today, Jesus gives his disciples a huge and dangerous task. He commissions them to go out and make more disciples. They are to go everywhere among familiar and foreign people and teach them all that Jesus commanded them. They are to baptize them in the name of the triune God. This is the beginning of a new movement. Followers of Jesus are by far the minority, and the way of life they espoused was radical. They would be among hostile people, whether Jew or Gentile, and as we know, their lives would be threatened and ultimately taken from them on account of their faith. To this day, disciples have the same task, and in some places, the same dangers. But guess what? Jesus also assured them that he would be with them forever. And they were full of courage and carried out the mission he gave them. They said it wasn't really they who accomplished anything for God, but God in them doing the work. Here's the thing about Joshua and later the disciples and effective disciples today. They take God at his word. They believe it when he says that he'll be with them. And it empowers and emboldens them to do whatever he calls them to. We've focused on courage. But God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. That word strong in the Hebrew comes from a root meaning to fasten onto or to seize. It's faith. Joshua had faith in God. What would your life be like if you really took God at his word? What part would you play in his story if you really believed that he is with you, calling you to a task, providing for you, and present with you? I think we'd live larger, more courageous lives. We'd get up in the morning anticipating a good day in God's presence. We would turn enemies into friends. We'd be generous with the gifts God has given us. We'd make healthier decisions. We'd make change where it's needed. We'd conquer our fears and ask forgiveness and speak of God's love and make disciples. And our church would be fruitful and joyful and warm. This is still God's story being written today. He graciously invites us to be a part of it. I pray we'll be strong and courageous to do it. Amen.